Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frederick Patnaud.
Hello, everybody.
What's going on?
Well, it's spring. Great time. It's getting warmer here. And I spent all my day yesterday at the dentist. Not all of the day, but, you know, most of the afternoon, let's just say.
Do you just go there to read the magazines in the waiting room?
Not exactly. No. About 10, well, more like 12 years ago. Yeah, I guess it started 15 years ago. You know, I was a raw foodist, and I just ended up with a lot of dental problems, like basically a bunch of cavities all at the same time. So I got all of this work done maybe 10, 15 years ago. But now some of these fillings have to be redone, you know, again, because they don't last forever. I mean, that's the thing. The old mercury fillings, they're, you know, they're bad for you and so on. But the new types, the composites, they just have like a more limited lifespan. So I had to get a few of those kind of, you know, redone all over again. So it was not a lot of fun.
So do you blame the raw food diet for the teeth problems, or do you think it's a little bit of genetics and a little bit of the raw food diet?
Well, I don't blame the raw food diet like as a diet. I just have found that people in general who try a raw food approach end up with more dental problems. And I think that's caused by a lot of things. And essentially, I mean, what I used to believe was sort of like, oh, well, if you eat a healthy diet, you kind of, you know, your teeth will kind of take care of themselves. I mean, brushing is fine and so on. But I didn't think that raw foods, it's not raw food specifically, it's just the sugar content of the diet that is to blame, I think.
Right.
And
didn't you not brush your teeth for a long period of time?
Well, I just was not brushing consistently for a while before, when I was like in my early 20s. And because I'd read some old natural hygiene books saying, you know, you shouldn't brush your teeth. I don't know, this sounds a little crazy, but sort of like the idea that...
Shelton.
Yeah, Shelton. It was Shelton. don't laugh at me now, but I'm going to say that the dental problems were not just caused by that, you know, specifically, yeah. Because then after that, I did start brushing my teeth very carefully, and I still couldn't get over the problems, you know, and there's still, I was getting more cavities and so on. And my brother was doing the diet at the same time. And he, you know, he didn't go through the, you know, don't brush your teeth thing or don't brush as much, you know, kind of idea. But he still ended up with a bunch of cavities, not as many as me, but still. I think the biggest issue essentially is that we all kind of have underlying oral conditions. I would call, you know, so, you know, you're, well, essentially like... it's the bacterial count in your mouth. So dentists nowadays, they can actually figure that out. You know, you can take a test and know what's your bacterial count of the bacteria that cause cavities. So, I mean, these bacteria, they're in our mouths and they're not going to go away, you know, no matter how much you brush. But the idea is we want to avoid them forming colonies and just, you know, plaque and what I call like little civilization. Essentially, if the bacteria count is too high, then you're going to get problems. So I think a lot of people, when they start this diet, they're not necessarily in a great space, you know, dental health wise, but they're not adding too much like oil to the fire. So when they switch to raw food diet, suddenly they're eating 8 times a day instead of 3 or 4 times, you know, so eating more often means there's more food in your mouth more often, right? And so there's more sugar and they drink coconut water all day long. And they, you know, so the eating frequency is a big part of it, I think, rather than just the foods. And then a lot of the foods have sugar as well. So, but I think the biggest one is the eating frequency, which really goes up on a raw food diet because the diet has a lower caloric density. So, you know, like a low caloric density means you need more food. And if you're not eating a lot of food all at once, then you're going to kind of graze throughout the day. So I think that's a big issue.
Well, I mean, I had a similar experience. I've actually never had a cavity before in my life. I consider myself one of these like lucky people. And my mom never had soda in the house when I was young, and we didn't eat sweetened cereals or anything like that. So maybe that has something to do with it, or maybe I just have genetics where my teeth are just kind of okay. But I ran into some problems with my teeth as well. One was staining. So definitely staining was a big problem, because I started to use tooth soap, and even using the tooth soap and the tooth brightener that they have, it just, you know, my teeth just still wouldn't get that clean. And so, you know, they were starting to turn a little bit, yellowish, greenish. And that was like the first thing. But then I started to get really sensitive to hot and cold. And so say if I was in the shower and I, you know, ran some water over my teeth, like they would be very sensitive and they'd almost hurt. Or if I would take a run in the cold when I was living back east in Connecticut, my teeth would start to get, you know, my teeth would hurt when I was running in the cold. It was just this really strange feeling. I'd never felt it before. And so those were like the first two things. And then the last straw was when my teeth started to hurt when I ate anything sugary.
Yeah.
And that to me was, you know, a sign that something bad was really starting to happen. And I think you're right with the frequency of the food, because what I used to do with the smoothie, when I would have a fruit smoothie or a green smoothie in the morning, is I would literally drink about 64 ounces, maybe. So almost a full Vitamix container full of smoothie. And I would drink it from, you know, 7 in the morning, varying times, 7 in the morning till, you know, maybe 11. And so literally I was just washing sugar over my teeth every day, all day long. Well, for the first half of the day. And that just can't be that good. So now if I drink a smoothie, I'll make it, well, I drink smoothie every morning, but if I do, I literally drink it in like 2 or 3 minutes and it's gone. And I drink less now because I'm eating more concentrated foods. I'm eating some cooked foods, eating some animal foods. So animal protein foods, not like animal foods. I don't eat dog food. You know, it's an animal food, right? So now I'm just going on the dog food diet. I decided raw food wasn't working. Maybe the dog food diet, you know, see if that I could lose some weight on that. Who knows? But anyway, I make sure that I, you know, drink the smoothie really fast. But not too fast that I get like a head cold, you know, one of those like cold sensitive things. And then I brush my teeth right afterwards.
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, as long as you're, you know, handling that kind of the bacterial count, as I call it, I think that's the key. Essentially what I talk about is kind of getting a super hygiene routine going. And that's for people who've had it like problems like you, you know, for a while. So you reduce the eating frequency and then you brush in a more like in a better manner. What if someone has had a lot of dental problems like cavities and so on? You know, what should they do? Can they reverse the cavities? You know, what's the best way about it? Do you have any insights? I mean, I have a bunch of stuff, but maybe, you know, you have something else from your experience with sensitive teeth.
Well, I just stopped eating, you know, the 100% raw food diet.
That seemed to
solve the problem pretty quickly. You know, it's one of those things where you do it and then your teeth are still sensitive. And then one day you're doing something that you used to do, like for instance, in the shower, and you'd run some hot water over your teeth, or you're running in the cold and you just don't feel it anymore. And then you just weren't feeling it. But then finally you realize that you know, everything's gotten better. So that's really what I've done. A couple other things that I think are important is one, making sure that you're flossing. I mean, you know, flossing is such an important thing. And I've been to the dentist recently and, you know, they have I don't know what it's called, but they take a measurement of the depth of your gums, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. how deep, and they assign a number to it, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I used to be like 5s and 4s, but now I'm like 2s and 3s in most of the areas of my gums. And that means that my gums aren't inflamed anymore. They were inflamed. So that's a pretty good sign that you know, your gums are getting better and that you're reducing the amount of bacteria that's growing in your mouth, causing inflammation. And then another thing that's kind of a little bit of a controversial thing. The girls in the office here love doing it. I think it's kind of one of these things where it makes sense and there's some science behind it, but it might be a wives' tale folklore kind of thing. And that's oil pulling. And, you know, oil pulling is where you take an oil, like a sesame oil or something like that. And you put it in your mouth and you literally swish around your mouth for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And oil is a natural cleanser. So that makes sense to me in terms of the, of the way that, the reason why it can actually help brighten your teeth, which is pretty cool. Again, it's a commitment to swish oil around in your mouth. But also I imagine that in the oil, there's some antimicrobial properties that probably will be a little antibacterial as well. And there is some science out of India, which is kind of where oil pulling comes from. It's, you know, an Ayurvedic practice. There is some science, very few. There's one scientist who's done like 3 or 4 studies on oil pulling, and that showed some promise, about how it works and why it works. But at the same time, it's one of those things where there's a commitment to sloshing oil around in your mouth for 20 minutes a day, which to me, you know, maybe if you're walking to work or driving in a car or something like that, but it's up to you to decide whether you want to do something like that. But the girls here swear by it. They swear their teeth are getting lighter and anecdotal is interesting too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can see how the bacteria must not like living in a pool of oil, right? I mean, they want sugar, right? So maybe, yeah, I'm sure there's something to it. It's just like you said, a pretty big commitment. Even 15 minutes a day, that's a lot. Like, people have a hard time brushing for 2 minutes, you know?
I know.
There's definitely something to the raw food diet causing dental problems. But have you noticed, like, now that you're eating more raw foods after a period of, let's say, being off the diet more or less, with more smoothies nowadays, do you find that your teeth are getting more sensitive or...
No, not at all. I think it was just, the extreme of it that was, causing me problems. And additionally, when your digestion is really good, which I think on the raw food diet that can suffer as well, your HCL production is up and running. You're able to digest your food better and get more minerals and more amino acids out of it. And minerals are really important for your teeth. And I think that that's connected in a way. And if your HCL is the production is rocking, then you're going to have a healthier bone structure. And so your teeth are involved in that as well.
Yeah. There could be definitely something to that. I mean, I know when I stopped eating like 100% raw food diet and, included a larger variety of foods in my diet immediately I felt, better. There was a period where I was literally like afraid of my next dental appointment, right? Because I'd had all these cavities and I just didn't want to get another one. And then I stopped eating a raw food diet pretty much completely at some point. And I looked at my teeth and then I noticed a little like kind of brownish spot that was really freaking me out. So I went to the dentist and he said, oh, that's actually that was like a cavity that was forming and then stopped. Stop forming itself. So the tooth had time to remineralize and essentially you stopped the cavity. And I was like, wow, I actually, he said, did you do anything different? And I said, yeah, I changed my diet and I changed my, everything. Cause I was eating like a raw food diet before. I was explaining like 100% raw foods. And he said, well, that must have done the trick. You can stop a cavity when it's very small and forming. Once it gets to a certain point, you have to get it filled. I mean, I know people ask, isn't there something you can do? Well, yes, there's something to a point, but that point is not very long. Then at some point, you really need the more you wait, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a very fine line and I would definitely recommend going to a dentist to determine whether or not you should get that filled before deciding to do it on your own or just allowing it to sit there and think you're healing it. And then suddenly you have to go through a root canal or something like that. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem appealing to me. It's funny you mentioned the story about, you going to the dentist and telling them about your raw food diet. I had a dentist in Stamford, Connecticut. And recommended guy, his name is Kendall. And if you search like StanfordDentist.com, I think he's the guy that comes up, or Holistic Dentist in Stanford. He's a Russian guy, so he's very direct and very, straight to the point. And so, I sit down in the chair and I said to him, I said, hey, my teeth are starting to hurt and And I feel hot, cold sensitivity. I think I have cavities, you know. And he says, okay. And I said, and he's like, well, what are you doing? And I was just like, well, I'm eating this raw food diet. You know, I'm eating a lot of fruit. And he's like, well, you stop doing that. It'll be fine.
Good impression. Good Russian impression.
I have an off-color Russian joke that I won't tell. So that's probably why my impression is good.
That's good. So. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, what you did that made the difference. So I'm going to bring up something else that that I did around that time, because when I was, you know, initially, yes, I went through the period of not brushing my teeth very often, but that wasn't a very long period. And then, you know, I got a bunch of cavities. Of course, people will say, of course you did. You didn't brush your... Yeah, okay. I was 20 years old. I was convinced by Shelton. What can I say? But right after, I did, you know, I was very faithful with my dental hygiene and very committed to it. And I was using this natural toothpaste and everything, and things were not getting better. So I thought, you know, I got to do something else. So I switched to the, you know, I changed my diet. But another thing that I did, and I haven't really talked about too much because I was kind of afraid in the natural world that people will, you know, it would create too much of a controversy, but I'll talk about it now, is I've been a faithful fluoride toothpaste user since 2004. And I really attribute that to, you know, it's one of the better things that I've done to kind of prevent more decay and improve my, you know, dental health overall. And I know that's like a bit of a controversy in this world. And I'm not talking about fluoride water and so on, but just having the fluoride in the toothpaste, which could be a natural toothpaste. For me, I mean, I'm really convinced that if you've had big dental problems or, you know, cavities and you want to prevent them, I mean, that's definitely one way to do it. And I know some people are going to say, are you crazy?
Fluoride.
Yeah, fluoride. Yeah, but you know what? There's no real controversy around fluoride used topically in the scientific community. You know, there's sort of the illusion of a controversy in the natural health world, but in reality, I mean, it's sort of an accepted fact, right? And I mean, how was it discovered? They found that in the early 1900s, America was not only a nation of drunks, but they were a nation losing their teeth, right? So in the American Southwest, there was like a little community, and they seemed to be immune to dental decay, and they didn't really know why, but they had these brown spots on their teeth, right? So they realized that the brown spots were coming from high amounts of fluoride in their water. Naturally occurring fluoride. And so that's how like the research, you know, was established. And then they figured out that, you know, they could adjust the concentration of fluoride to avoid the spots, but still prevent decay. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, controversies about throwing it in the water and so on. But what I found, I mean, from the research is it really works, because what happens is the fluoride in the toothpaste combines with a substance that's on your teeth, and it transforms it into a stronger substance, so your teeth are resistant to acids. So not only acids in your food, but acids produced by the bacteria that cause decay. So I've been doing it, and I will say it outright. I mean, if you've had dental health problems, you know, use the fluoride in the toothpaste. That's just not just my crazy opinion. I think that's the opinion of the entire scientific community on that. And then I will also say that I think one of the reasons why you see more hippies with dental problems is they use all these natural toothpastes, you know? And so if they have problems with their teeth, I mean, they're not doing something aggressive enough to prevent it. And I don't think fluoride in toothpaste is very aggressive treatment. It's just, you know, just something, right?
When you first said fluoride, I was going to jump all over you because I thought you were going to talk about the reasons for fluoride in the water and why that's helpful for teeth and all that sort of stuff. And we all know that this is just a way to get rid of industrial waste. I mean, this is not a way for us to be able to, you know, get better teeth. I mean, there's better ways to do that. But, you know, look, just like there's space for some of modern medicine in our regular lifestyles, there's also space for maybe something like this. You know, if you've tried everything and it's just not working and you just can't seem to get it together and you're miserable because your teeth are falling out of your mouth, then yeah, I mean, then let's try something that you know has been you know put through the ringer in terms of science and see if it works for you, you know.
All right, good. I thought you were going to kill me.
I guess we can agree on that one. I guess we can agree on that one. I don't know if hippies have more teeth problems than non-hippies though. I mean, I think in our space we just see it all the time because people talk about it. But I mean, I know a lot of people with really bad teeth, you know, like full bridges and just, you know, dentures and all that.
Well, one thing that I will say, because you talked about it before, is I think, I mean, people from an older generation don't floss. You know, they didn't grow up with the sort of the flossing habit. And that's been confirmed to me by people belonging to that generation. And our readers can tell us, you know, do you think people of, let's say, you know, born in the 40s or in the 50s, in the 60s, are you flossing less? Do you think your people of your generation are not flossing as much as people born, you know, starting in the 70s and 80s? Where, I mean, I don't know about you, Kevin, but I was told about flossing and I was just brought up with this idea that, you know, if I didn't floss, something terrible would happen. And they were right, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flossing to me is one of those things where it was just ingrained in my brain, just burned in my brain by my mom, to the point where sometimes I revolt from it, you know? So like I'd floss straight for 6 months and then I just stop because it's like, oh, my mom, you know, she wants me to floss. but yeah, I mean, I think flossing is one of those things, just looking at those. I mean, another tangible measurement of dental health is the inflammation or lack of inflammation in your gums, and flossing definitely single-handedly is one of those things that can help reduce the inflammation in your gums. Reduce the inflammation in your gums, you know, things are cool. The other thing about dentistry that's really unique and interesting, and I've always wondered about this science, and I've read some of it, and I still question it a little bit, but you know, dental problems can be, particularly dental problems like plaque and things like that, can be directly related to heart issues as well. I always wonder if that's just, I don't know if that's a causation or a correlation kind of thing. It kind of makes me wonder, you know, are the dental problems actually causing heart problems, or is it an issue where, you know, they just happened to, you know, be the same in a weakened or slightly inflamed body? You know what I mean? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I don't actually. I mean, nothing definitive, because, you know, some people say, yes, it's a reflection of your overall health, but I think what happens in the mouth is kind of specific to that environment, you know, in the sense that if your teeth are decaying, it doesn't mean your bones are decaying. This, you know, it just means, because of the fact of the oral environment is that it's an open space in contact with the outside world, right? So there's bacteria that proliferate there that are just not inside our bodies. And I think, you know, yes, there could be, I mean, maybe there's a correlation and other things, but I think it doesn't necessarily mean that if you've had problems with your teeth, that something else is necessarily going on that's related to that. I just have a hard time believing that. And I think it's pretty shaky statement as well, but who knows, you know, there might be things that are, you know, related to that. Yes.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's one for one. So it's like if your teeth are falling out of your mouth, your bones are disintegrating in your leg. You know what I mean? I definitely don't think that that's a one for one thing. But I do think that in terms of the mineral side of it, if you're depleted in your minerals and you're constantly depleted in your minerals, your HCL production isn't up to speed. There's two things that can happen. One, you know, your body's going to look for minerals somewhere and you can find them in the bones. So that can, you know, it can find mineral there and it may weaken. You know, if your teeth are showing signs of weakness, you may have signs of weakness in your bones, but you can just take a scientific test and figure out if that's true or not. And then you can prove me wrong or prove me right. It's totally cool. And it may not even be directly related to your teeth. So who knows? At least you found out that your bones were weak and everything is good. And the second thing is if your HCL production is low, you may not be able to kill some of the harmful bacteria that may be in your mouth that actually make it down into your stomach and then into your intestines. And that may be one of the reasons why they're saying, you know, this is a problem with, you know, the mouth is a direct relation to heart disease, because maybe there's a little bit more inflammation that we don't know about. You know, these bacteria may be causing, you know, more problems than we even know. So just some, you know, just some thoughts there on that side too.
Sounds good. Well, we want to hear from you again and leave your comments on the blog if you want to comment on this issue, because we'd love to hear from you about this particular issue of dental health. And if you're not already subscribed on iTunes, check it out. Our blog or podcast, sorry.
Yes, and please give us a review.
Yes, because it's climbing. It's climbing in the ratings on Renegade Health. Oh, what did I say?
You said Renegade Health. You said it's already at it's the top podcast on Renegade Health.
It is definitely the top podcast on Renegade Health. But maybe.
But we're climbing up on iTunes.
Yes, that's
so
what I want to say.
Give us a rating. Give us a rating. Tell us how much you like this. If you don't like it, tell us that you don't like it too. We don't care. Our backs are thick enough. Our skin is thick enough. Wait, our backs? I don't know. We're falling apart. See you guys later next week.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
It's fine.
Renegade Health Radio.